This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. MashaAllah, tabarakallah, we just heard a beautiful recitation and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has indeed favored us to be a part of this beautiful day today. May Allah Almighty accept it from all of us and grant us goodness. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the bride and the groom, the couple that are coming together, with the goodness that he mentions when he says, وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. There Allah is describing the dua of the true believers in the Most Merciful, where he is clearly saying that they are the ones who have made dua for their spouses and their offspring, so that two things could happen primarily. Number one is that they are the coolness of each other's eyes. And number two is that they become leaders of those who are pious, those who are conscious of Allah, which means they themselves would be learning, practicing, conveying to others in a way that they become leaders. So that is the dua. We ask Allah to make the bride and the groom both, and the families and all of us, from among those who are more conscious of their duty unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make us all leaders of the righteous, leaders of the pious. Make us pious to begin with. Ameen. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. I want to commence by thanking the groom and the bride and the families for having me on this beautiful day. Although I'm speaking to you from Africa, very, very far away, but I feel connected and I feel a part of this. Most of those, probably I know most of you, and you would probably know me too. All this connection is fi sabilillah. It is only in the cause of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, when we have a couple that come together, generally the Prophet ﷺ used to advise or seize the opportunity to advise on an occasion where people gathered. So people gathered, for example, like this nikah, and the Prophet ﷺ would tell them to be conscious of Allah. He would read a few verses of the Quran. He would address the youth. Ya ma'ashara shababa man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj, increasing the encouragement of getting married, to say, if you're able and capable, don't delay, get married. And at the same time, make it easy for your children to get married, because that is within the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I want to kick off by making mention of the element of taqwa. The issue of taqwa is very important. It is repeated in most of the verses, and especially the verses of Khutbatul Haja, which at times is also recited during a khutbah of nikah, when it comes to advising the people and so on. So you look at taqwa, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah, O you who believe, develop the taqwa of Allah. Taqwa itself is an encyclopedia of meaning. And primarily it's developing the correct relationship with Allah, having enough fear that would keep you away from sin, and having enough hope that would make you turn to him at all times, having enough love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that would make you do the right things, obey his instruction and command. If we have those qualities, when we get married, nothing can go wrong. Nothing can actually go wrong when you have taqwa, because taqwa is the cornerstone of everything and everything good. And taqwa is the main ingredient of ultimate success in the dunya as well as in the akhirah. So remember, our lives should be a journey of development of taqwa. That's the life. My life from the beginning of my understanding age right to the end where I die should be the development of taqwa, the betterment of it, the consciousness of how much consciousness I have of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what would bring about goodness and happiness. More so when we are coming together in such a sacred union that the rest of our future is determined upon what happens thereafter. This is why the choice of a spouse is very important in Islam, because your future depends on the type of choices you make that Allah has allowed you to make. Obviously, people say, well, it's written by Allah. Remember, the writing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not necessarily mean He imposed it on you, but rather He gave you a leeway and a choice in certain matters. And that's what He's going to ask you about. So Allah is going to ask you and I how you use the choices. You had to choose a spouse. Did you choose someone who was respectful on both sides? Are you going to respect them so that your children can learn the respect and learn the duties they have unto Allah? Will you be fulfilling your ibadah together so that your children, your offspring, the families and everyone around you can learn from you, and you can become lilmuttaqina imama? You can become a leader of the righteous. If you are not righteous, how will your children be righteous? If you are not respectful, how will your children be respectful? If you don't say the right things with your mouth in terms of dhikr, Quran, goodness, teaching goodness, and even saying words of love and kindness to those around you, how are people going to learn from you? So it's very important to highlight this matter upon the nikah. My dear son and my beloved daughter, remember to say words that are pleasing to Allah, only words that are pleasing to Allah. This is why part of that taqwa is also qulu qawlan sadida. That qulu qawlan sadida is part of ittaqullah. It's part of the taqwa. That's why Allah says, ya ayyuhal ladina amanu ittaqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. He has connected the two together. Part of taqwa is qawlan sadida. Those who don't have qawlan sadida need to develop their taqwa. Those who don't have taqwa will not be worried about qawlan sadida. When you have both of them, you can be lil muttaqina imama. So it is very important. If you don't have a relationship with Allah, how will you utter words that are upright? Qulu qawlan sadida literally means say that which is straight. So do not say anything besides what is straight, what is good, what is kind, what is filled with uprightness and justice, what is filled with love, and what is filled with the relationship with Allah in a positive way. That is qawlan sadidan. And Allah says, if you do that, if you develop these two things, where your taqwa is developed to the degree that your qawl sadid is in order, Allah says, yuslih lakum a'malakum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. Allah says, we will make good for you your deeds. We will purify them. Because Allah does not accept deeds except those that are pure and good. Allah does not accept deeds unless they are pure and good. What are the deeds that are pure and good? They are the deeds that are done for the sake of Allah, according to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you look at that, it's the taqwa that is developed, connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in accordance with what the Prophet ﷺ taught, and the qawl and sadid and the taqwa together, they will help you that your deeds become acceptable to Allah. Yuslih lakum a'malakum. He will make them acceptable. He will purify them. He will grant you the ability to do good deeds together, to do good deeds as a family, to do good deeds as an ummah, to teach good deeds so that you have a sadaqa jariyah. People say, well, when I die, what will help me? The biggest things that will help you are those deeds you do of which the reward continues even after your death. Those are known as sadaqatun jariyah. One of them is ilmun, to teach some knowledge. When you disseminate something, whether you taught it by tongue or any other way of teaching, including those who learned from you by example, all of that is sadaqa jariyah. It is all part of this beautiful deen of Rasulullah. So this is why these verses, they are important to be spoken about during a nikah. Taqwa, develop it. The issue of your tongue, make sure as a couple you only utter respectful words. Both families, you know, mashallah, tabarakallah, I speak on a lot of occasions of nikah, and I always say, our parents will guide us, they will advise us. That is not revelation from the sky. A lot of the times, because of them wanting to see goodness for us, they say things. At the end of the day, the decision will be between husband and wife, remembering that the husband is actually the leader of the home. We are Muslims and we do believe that he is the Amir of the home. That meaning does not actually say that he becomes a tyrant and he starts, you know, unleashing his unreasonability. But rather, it is leadership in the home because he is responsible for the upkeep, for the protection of the home, the security of the home. So many other duties that Allah has given him, looking after the home. Whereas the wife is, yes, the wife comes in a unique relationship where she definitely falls immediately under the husband in one way, but together in many, many ways. In your duty unto Allah, you are absolutely equal. You have to fulfill your duty unto Allah together. In considering one your Amir, there is the other who is not the Amir. So you have to have one leader and the other is the deputy or the vice or the one who comes slightly, you know, after that Amir. That does not drop your level in any way in the eyes of Allah. But someone, somewhere, somehow has to be, you know, the leader. As Muslims and even those of other Semitic faiths, they consider the husband the leader of the home. He's the one who has a lot of responsibility. When we acknowledge that role and when the husbands fulfill that role and when we acknowledge that he definitely is that Amir, that is when we will find a lot of goodness that will come in our direction and the directions of our children, because that is how we will be able to improve and teach the next generation about the deen of Allah. And that is how together we will fulfill the plan of Allah. What makes us different? We are mu'mineen, we are muslimin. We believe that Allah's instruction and guidance is final. We believe that when Allah says something, we have no say in that regard. Otherwise, what's the point of calling ourselves mu'mineen? When Allah says, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ ولا مؤمنة إذا قضى الله ورسوله أمرا أن يكون لهم الخيرة من أمرهم. It is not befitting, it is not for a believing male or female that when Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam have decided something, have instructed something, that they then have a choice in that regard. You're a true believer, you will say, that is it, سمعنا وأطعنا. We have heard, we have obeyed, because it's coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is how we will progress. Similarly, when it comes to childbirth, the mother plays a bigger role, but when it comes to bringing the child up, we both play our roles. You know, the man cannot breastfeed the child, but at the same time, he has to be there in the position of leadership to teach and to show and to be able to guide the child as well. So we fulfill our unique roles as Muslimin and Muslimat. And we ask Allah to grant us the ability to respect each other. I am actually wording this in a way that would be helpful to all those who are attending today, those who may see this later on. May Allah grant us the ability to fulfill each other's roles. I think that a lot of the problems and difficulties that people face in marriage and in their relationships are connected to taqwa and al-qawl as-sadid. They lose their relationship with Allah, or they lose consciousness of that relationship with Allah. Therefore, they abuse with their tongues. They either say hurtful words, they utter that which is cutting, they talk out of turn, they say something that is hurtful and so on. All that is negating qawlan sadida. And that's why things go wrong. If we fulfill our roles and we develop our relationship with Allah and we utter that which is upright, by the will of Allah, nothing can actually go wrong. And I want to end off by reminding you that the Prophet ﷺ has asked us to protect our tongues and our private parts. You know, the issue of Jannatul Firdaus, paradise, is connected to the tongue and the private parts. The Prophet ﷺ says, مَنْ يَضْمَنْ لِي مَا بَيْنَ لِحْيَيْهِ وَمَا بَيْنَ فَخِذَيْهِ أَضْمَنْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever guarantees me the correct use of what lies between the cheeks and what lies between the thighs, I guarantee him or her paradise. Subhanallah. So more so in marriage, there should be an element of trust. We should make time for one another. We should learn to help each other because we come from slightly different environments, sometimes unique environments, but the connecting factor is that taqwa and those teachings of the Prophet sallam and the way we've been brought up with our salah in order, with our dress code in order, with our respect of the elders in order, with our respect of the system of the Islamic home in order, everything of that nature. Then, by the will of Allah, we would be able to fulfill the correct use of both the tongue and the private parts. And inshallah, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring together the groom and the bride in rahma, mawadda, sakina, and baraka. And this is why the sunnah dua is barakallahu lakuma wa baraka alaykuma wa jama'a baynakuma fi khair. We ask Allah to bless the two of you and to bless everything that He is going to give you, to bless everything that comes from you, and to bring you together in absolute goodness, every form of goodness. And I also want to seize the opportunity to congratulate the families on both sides. Really, it's a beautiful day and I'm glad to be a part of it. Similarly, we make dua that Allah alleviate the suffering of those who are struggling and eradicate the virus that is ravaging the globe. And at the same time, may Allah have rahmah and mercy upon those who have passed on. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the blessings of this day and all the days to follow. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. Aqulu qawli hadha wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad.